Morning, guys. How are you? Good. Hey, it's good to be with you. I am fresh from the mountains. The sad thing about the mountain drive is it takes about 45 minutes before you're out of the mountains. Then you've got about 18 hours of non-mountains to contend with before you get back home. But it is good to be with you guys. Happy Father's Day to you fathers. I have some Father's Day stories for you. Actually, I hope these will be honoring to my own dad. He's not present today, but maybe on the off chance he listens to the recording sometime, he'll be honored. But my hope is to honor earthly fathers and our Heavenly Father alike today. I want to tell you about my first car. You guys ever seen those commercials where someone walks out of the driveway and sees a brand new car with a bow? It's usually like a Lexus or an SUV. Looks something like that. That was not my first car. But it did come like a gift at one time. It actually looked, it was this next model. It's called a Subaru GS. I don't know if you've ever seen one before. Mine was like this, a few more dents, but this is how I imagined it in my mind. It was amazing. I loved it. Had a 0-60 time of about 6 days. And the fuel economy of think of an oil tanker. And but I love that car. Well, one time I was driving back from U of M's freshman orientation. I just come out here. I was driving back to Grand Rapids where I lived at the time. And the dash started flashing. And I thought to myself, oh, that's not great. This is all digital dash. And so everything, I just blanked out. It's just gone. So the car's still moving, but everything electronic is just dead. Then it's back. It's dead. Then blink, 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 blink. And I'm starting to think, I should probably pull the car over. But I'm like in that in-between space between Brighton and Lansing where there just isn't much going on in terms of exits. And I thought to myself, I hadn't been paying attention to how far away from the last exit I am nor how far the next exit is. So I'm just going to keep going. I wasn't an engineer yet at that point in time, so I would have played this differently now. And so I kept going, and I started to see some coloration change out of the smoke out of the back of the car. And then I started to see some coloration change out of the smoke in the front of the car. So at that point, I did pull the car over, and I grabbed my bag, and I sprinted like 50 feet away because the car was just smoke just pouring out of the engine at this stage in the game. And I'm thinking to myself, my dad's not going to like this. And it's going to take me a long time before I can tell him. So I walk all the way to the next gas station. It was Weberville. I remember it really well. Call my dad, and he was super gracious. Thankfully, it wasn't Father's Day or his birthday, but it was right in between. So those were good times. 2 weeks later, I'm like, I was biking to my father's house because I didn't have a car anymore. And I spotted in the driveway this blue Mazda 626. Looked kind of like this. And not that fancy either. I couldn't find the actual car, okay? The only ones you can see now are the mint condition ones that still exist. They got photographed. This is like before photography. So I started to wonder, like, whose car is this? And so I walk into the house and say, hey, Dad, what's with that car out there? And he said, well, thought you needed a way to get to school. It's yours. Tossed me the keys. And they said, but you have to take your brother everywhere he needs to go, and you need to learn how to drive it. It was a stick shift. And so I said, agreed. I accept your gift with your conditions. A car moves us from one place to another, but the gift of God moves us relationally, moves us spiritually. How's that for a cheesy transition? I've been practicing. There's nothing in this world like the love of Christ, nothing at all. We're moved by it as well we should be. Christ's love is powerful. It changes lives, it reshapes them. It molds them and grants them value, identity, and purpose, and we are compelled by love. And in the series on 2 Corinthians, we're covering three ways in which that happens. The love of Christ that compels us, that reorients our worship. It transforms our understanding of community, and it powers our life mission. In the last of these three talks we're going to cover today, but before we do that, I just want to ask God to just bless us, that he would speak to us this morning. Heavenly Father, it is such a privilege to spend time in your word, to getting closer to understanding you more. It's a privilege to wake up every day, Lord, to your goodness, to your graciousness. Lord, I thank you for John and the work that he's doing. Just impresses upon my heart that he's just finishing school and moving into grad school, and he heard your call to engage in a place like Samaritas for the kind of work that he gets to do. And I love his heart. I love how optimistic he is in the face of a problem that is huge and stresses me out like crazy every time I think about it. But you are good. You are good. There's not a soul on the planet, Lord, that you don't know, you don't see. And we trust that and all the things that they need to you. Your name. Amen. So let's dive into the scriptures. This is 2 Corinthians. And of all this is a gift from God. He brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we can be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. This passage in Corinthians is one of the best summaries of the gospel message, especially verse 21. It's cited a lot. There's also an emphasis on the work that God has done and is doing. Through Christ's love, God brought us back to himself. Through Christ's love, God is reconciling the whole world. Through Christ's love, God is no longer counting our sins against us. Just a tremendous message. But there's something more here. There's a task and a title. And to whom is given? Who gets it? We do. God is reconciling the world to himself through Christ. True. And he's using his sons and daughters to do it. God's plan is that everyone who's experienced the gift of reconciliation would then become an ambassador of that reconciliation to the rest of the world. So we're given a role and we're given a title. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. The love of Christ empowers our life mission. It empowers the life mission. It's a truly profound reality. And yet, I'd like to bring some honesty to the conversation today, because I think most of us have heard this before. We've heard this before. If you've been in church for any portion of time in your life, there's a good chance you've heard this passage. It's not some obscure passage. But most of you, living with this knowledge for some time, we find ourselves in two camps. Two camps. A few of you, you wake up in the morning and you are just excited, deeply excited about this role, this call. You get up and the first thing you think about is, who can I share the faith with today? And you're excited. And you're most rewarded in those moments when you have the opportunity to share God's grace with somebody else. And if they receive Christ, all the more exciting to you. And you revel in those moments. And the rest of us, I say because that's the camp I'm in, the second one, we live a different kind of existence. We know this role. We know this title. But we experience it a little differently. Since it's Father's Day, I want to continue with the metaphor of a gift. There are two great and precious gifts in this passage. The first gift is the gift of a reconciled relationship to God through Christ. We call it our salvation. It's a gift unlike any other in this life because there's nothing at all that compares to God, and thus no gift that can ever be given that compares to a reconciled relationship with him. It's also a gift of life, eternal life. It's just nothing like it. And if you're here this morning and you've not yet received this precious gift, I implore you to receive it. Faith and repentance are all that you need because of the grace of God. He's provided absolutely everything else. Faith because it's impossible to come to God or to accept him apart from him. You must believe that he exists. And you must accept that. And repentance because our souls are saturated in sin. We need to change the way we think. To reject our selfish way of living, to accept a new life that God offers us. And the Bible lays out only two paths in life. One is very, very good, and the other is horrific. And all of us deserve the terrible ending, but God offers us. He offers us something better. The better path. But we must accept it. It's not enough just to know it. It's not enough just to come to a place where it's taught. You have to grasp it personally. And if this is where you are today, I'd love to have you to come up, not right in the moment, but after the sermon, we're going to have some time to pray. Myself and some others will be scattered throughout the auditorium. You can come pray with us if that's where you're at. Or if you just have questions, come ask us. The gospel is a precious gift, and God offers it to all of us. But there are two gifts presented here. Two gifts. And the second gift is mission, task, role. Mission is a gift, but what kind of a gift is it? If we're honest with ourselves for a moment, there are a few of us who really, really jump out of our skin and say, yeah, it's a good gift. Love this gift. Awesome gift. But many of us sometimes look at this task from God as more of a burden, more of a source of guilt or fear or shame. Fathers, think back to that moment when you first found out you were going to be a father. I have a graphic. Yeah, one of these two. How did you feel? Biblically, we know that children are a blessing from God, but they can also be a scary blessing, right? I practice talks with my kids as I found it's one of the ways to put them to sleep faster at night. So as they're going to sleep, I just practice this talk, and sometimes I find that they're listening. And so my second oldest was like, "Hey, that's offensive." You're kind of right, buddy. You are a blessing, a heavy blessing. There's a responsibility embedded in the gifts of God sometimes, right? Children, for sure, it's like that. They're a tremendous blessing, and yet you do have to care for them for a long time. Spiritual gifts are this way. They're given by God, but they're intended to be used. And there's a blessing also in the gospel. It's something we receive, but it's something we're supposed to give. I see kids do this all the time. Not mine, of course, just random kids. They start to unwrap a package, and they get 5% of it unwrapped, and then they experience profound disappointment. And then they express profound disappointment, and they throw said package across the room. And we're not allowed to do that as adults socially, but sometimes there's some gifts that we don't want. Sometimes, like you new fathers, right? If you're so new, I've met a couple of you guys today, well, not met, but seen you, who are so new that your kids aren't getting you gifts, right? If someone gives you a gift, it's because they're thinking, oh, your child should give you a gift, but your child's like 6 months old, so that's not going to happen. Instead, your child gives you something like this, naturally, right? It's a gift. Yeah, it was given, but you don't really want it. You could live a perfectly good life without it. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Now, I'm not raising your hand. Just keep them by your side if you want to. But I want you to raise your heart metaphorically on this question. If you're in that camp of feeling grateful for God's gift of a reconciled relationship with him, but you sometimes feel burdened by the spread of that gift, I'd love for you to raise your heart. My central point this morning is to engage your heart, for you to see it. Where are you at? Not for me to write it down or to judge it in some way, shape, or form, but for you to see it. It is a hard burden sometimes, is it not? We aren't opposed to the message, but we have all kinds of fears or challenges or hesitations spreading it. It can add a level of unwanted challenge or expectation in our lives that we would just assume we didn't have. Perhaps we don't mind sharing it with someone who seems really excited to receive it, but in America, people seem generally pretty content without a knowledge of God sometimes. Feels like a really awkward knock on the front door of that relationship. Hey, let me tell you about this thing you're not asking about, but you really need. Feels like carrying around a dirty diaper. I don't know if you guys have ever done this. I have 5 kids, so I've done this. It happens most of the time in a McDonald's parking lot where we change said child in the minivan and then have to transport the diaper into a trash can that's never next to where we park. And so then I'm awkwardly carrying this mini. I'm just walking and I'm walking and walking and just thinking to myself, please let there be a trash can closer than this next time. It's awkward, it doesn't feel good. There are 2 gifts, but one comes inherent with responsibility built in. And in our culture, we don't necessarily associate gifts with responsibility. If it says free and there's an asterisk next to it, you're like, well, that's not free. Even the word free by itself doesn't mean free anymore because you're just assuming it's going to come with something. But here it is, the greatest gift we've ever been given, reconciled relationship with God, and the greatest task we've ever been given. And my point in saying all this is to allow us to honestly say, if we need to the Lord, God, this gift is hard. I need your help with this. It's not to try to motivate you by guilt. We didn't call this series Compelled by Guilt for a reason. Right? Did we even consider that, programming team? Was that an option on the table? No? We didn't even think about it. We didn't even think about it for a second. We were never even going to do it. It's about love. It's about reconciled relationship. Reconciliation is about broken relationships restored. And when we serve as ambassadors of a reconciled relationship with God through Christ, we are engaging a relational task. The world is full of relationships that are broken. It's like this giant game of unfreeze tag. I unfreeze you, I unfreeze you, I unfreeze you. And all of a sudden, everybody's moving and unfreezing each other. That's the goal. We get tagged with love, and that love should move us to unfreeze others who need it. First John reminds us we love because he first loved us. That's the pattern. If we're struggling with that second gift with our role as ambassadors, I think what we need to do most is to look. We need to look inside and see how are we experiencing the love of God, because it's not a problem with his love coming to us, but there's something happening with his love that flows out of us. Something that maybe restricts it in some way, shape, or form as it goes back out. I've been thinking about this for my own life, and I've discovered two hindrances I want to share with you, just in the inner workings of my own life, my own heart, about how I discharge this role as ambassador in my own life. Mission is a gift, but sometimes I get distracted. I get distracted. We've seen those movies, right, where the person's on some special mission, and their faces are painted, and they're wearing green, and they're doing their thing. They're in the jungle, wherever it is, maybe it's the desert, and they've got a mission, and they're super clear on that mission, and their whole life is about that mission, and they're sacrificing everything for it. It's crystal clear. But when I wake up in the morning, that's not what I have in my head. I'm like, first of all, this morning it was like, well, it's 7 o'clock, but it feels like 5 o'clock. Why is that? Oh, it's because it is 5 o'clock for me still. I'm thinking, what are my kids going to do this morning? How are we going to eat? We have like a zillion distractions in our life because our lives are so busy. I want to be thinking about mission. I really do. But the reality of existence is that we have so many things we have to contend with, responsibilities, pressures, and our brain gets full of those things. And if we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot that prevents us from seeing the importance of God's mission on a day-to-day basis, right? The second hindrance is a love problem. I love my own time, my own comfort, my perceived reputation. I find that I love those things more than the souls sometimes of the people I have opportunity to relate with. Now, I'm a pastor. I'm a very relational guy. I meet people. I tend to actually go deep in some of those relationships, but I have a hard time sometimes turning the corner into the gospel. There's some fear there. There's something that prevents me from going into that space without consciously deciding, God, I need you to enable me to go into this space. On my own, I don't want to go there. There's something I'm afraid of. So I know the gospel. I've received it. It's transformed my life, but I still have a hard time serving as God's ambassador in certain moments. If you were like me, even if you're not like me, and you aren't, because God made us all different, right? But this, he gives us all the same. And I think that there's some challenge for all of us to overcome in this. If you have received these two gifts from God, how are you personally responding to them? What's going on in your heart? Do you feel a sense of distraction? Are you ignoring this gift? Did you open it up just a little bit and set it back down? Is there anything hindering that love that God's pouring into you from going back out again in some way, shape, or form? Or are you feeling compelled by God's love to engage it, to spread it? The love of Christ empowers our mission, and that's absolutely true, but the question I think we need to ask is, how do we constrict or hinder that love? What's going on in our hearts? Let's read this verse one more time. And all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. He gave it to us. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And as God's partners, Paul says, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. The way I say those words, I'm afraid it sounds like guilt, and I don't mean it. We really didn't call that serious guilt, compelled by guilt. I think we need to check that motive at the door. But how do we get in touch with what love looks like? And how do we move love forward in relationships around us? I have some practicals I want to share with you. We traveled down to Ohio a couple years ago and met with one of our sister churches, Vista, down there. And we asked them a ton of questions about multi-site and all these other things. But one of the things they shared with us just offhand was this idea called Bless 10, which I think was actually the best thing that they gave us the whole day. Bless 10. It's an acronym. It stands for begin with prayer. It's an easy way of trying to think, how do I walk someone through a series of steps to move into a place where I can share the gospel with them in a real practical, easy way. And what I really love about it is there's not a single one of these steps that most of us just can't do. We just, after you're hearing it, you're like, I can do that. I can do that thing. So you begin with prayer. Even before you spend a significant amount of time with someone, you pray for them. You engage God about their life, where they're at, about their soul, about anything that they need. And then you spend some time listening to them. You get time with them. You hear their story. You understand their life. You get involved in their life. And then you spend some time eating with them, engaging with them. There's nothing like a shared meal to move a relationship forward, or 40 shared meals. And then after having learned their story, you have the opportunity to serve them in some way because you know what their specific needs are. So you can say, hey, how can I meet those needs? And you go meet those needs. And you make a tangible difference in their life. And then you can share your story. You can share about how Jesus has affected your life, and you can transition from that to how Jesus could affect their lives. It's cool. It's simple. It's not that hard to remember. I really like it. But the thing that's really powerful about it is you pick 10 people. You pick 10 people who you're intentionalizing these steps with. You write them down somewhere, whether it's a note card or it's a phone or something along those lines. And then as you're going about your life, when you step into that coffee shop and you know that the barista is one of those 10 people, you can be thinking tangibly, oh, I'm in step 2 with this person today. How can I get some time to listen to this person and understand their story a little bit better? It just makes it a little less intimidating thinking, how can I change their whole life in this one moment of conversation? Make sense? If you want to learn more about that, come find me afterwards. We have some resources on it. I could write it on your hand with a pen or writing utensil, I guess, if you wanted. This Father's Day, I want us to take stock of what we've been given, what God's given us. We have an amazing Heavenly Father who's both the Father of those who have a good earthly dad and those who don't. He's the Father to the widow, the orphan, the refugee, and those of us with perfectly fine circumstances, but all of us alike need what only he can provide. We don't earn his love, we never have, but we have it always, and his love compels us, it reorients our worship, transforms our understanding of community, and it empowers our mission. And in this passage today, he's given us two great gifts. Will you unwrap them both? Will you be lovingly compelled to express them and God's goodness to others? Check that guilt motive at the door. Dive into your heart and figure out what's going on with the love of God pouring in there and in that space. How are you experiencing it? Christ's love compels us to live sent. That means we're increasingly moving toward every aspect of our lives, becoming a witness to the reconciliation of God through Christ. Every aspect of how we live. Through us, God is imploring the whole world. It's not a question of whether or not we're ambassadors if we received God's gift of the gospel. We are. It's a question of how much love we pour into that role. New life, we love our neighbors and we make disciples of Jesus because we love him, because that's what he wants for us. As we close this time in this series, I think it's time for us to move from that head conversation to that heart level of obedience. Are we compelled by the love of Christ? Are we surrendered to God's plans and his ways? We're going to shift into a time of worship, and we're going to sing, and we're going to worship God through song. And John's got these songs themed on this idea of surrender. And I encourage you to ask God, what is it that he is looking for from your life today? Let's pray. Father, it is such a delight to be your kid because you're so good. You're so good. You're gracious to us when we make mistakes, and we make so many. You're with us in the moments that we need you most. You're patient with us in our sin and our misunderstanding of you. And God, this morning, as I'm still thinking about those refugees, I have that image of 600 people on a boat. I can't get out of my head, Lord, that what the world needs most is you. There are earthly systems in place, and that will benefit some people, but ultimately, Lord, what the world needs most is you. How will you move your church to obey you, to love you, to honor you? How will you move us to be your hands and feet in this world? God, we need you desperately. We are your children. We need your guidance. We need your strength. Lord, would you use us? Would you move us to do the work that you've called us? In your name we pray. Amen.